We wrap things up this week with a look at our investor insights. We're going to be taking a look at illegal lending institutions and updating our wall, of course. I spoke to Microfinance South Africa. They kind of are almost a body for microlenders. And they suggested, or they said that 4,000 people or 4,000 businesses with NCR approval, National Credit Regulator approval, have had that approval lapse.
Ooh, wow.
And that, it means you're borrowing from people that suddenly aren't authorized under NCR, but have an NCR number. And that's dangerous.
I mean, it is dangerous. I mean, you know, it's quite possible that they carry on and everything's fine. But I mean, it's rules 101, right? If you're particularly in the financial services space, you want to be with a regulated person, not someone who was once regulated, someone who is still regulated. And very important, regulated for what they're offering. We see it often with FSCA, the FSPs. They're regulated for this, but then they're selling you that, that, and that.
Yes.
It needs to be in the right space.
Yes, because it's one thing to slap on a license number, whether it's an NCR license or an FSP license number, and say, this is the license number that we have. Clearly it's approved. Trust us and all of that. And I think that's part of the problem is a financial services business perspective. Businesses are taking advantage of that. Businesses are taking advantage of the fact that not a lot of consumers understand what subcategories are on an FSP 100%. License. And that's not because, by any stretch, it's not because our consumers are slow or don't understand things. It's because FSP numbers and FSP licenses are complicated.
No, I mean, Cat 1, Cat 2, Cat 2A,
Cat 3.
ODP license,
those
Cat
things
3s,
are complicated, right? So part of understanding that from an FSP's perspective and from an NCR business or whatever is to ensure that you do your part to educate people out there and say, look, this is what we are authorized to do. This is what we do. And if you have questions, ask us the questions. And I think we also need to ask questions.
But shouldn't they, agreed, but shouldn't they also be easier, right? So something like when we've been registration, voting, right? You SMS a number and boom, comes back and says, registered here. So how about I go and I'm outside a lender and I can, what's your NCR? And I send it off, comes back and it says, this number is registered to this company. This is the, or it's lapsed. Because, I mean, you'll see the pictures on the wall sometimes. You walk in and it's like, that's a 2002 registration. Yeah, we just haven't put the new one up. I mean, have they just not put the new one up? Or, I mean, is it a legal requirement that you have it? I mean, I see it in Woolies.
So
they've got their National Credit Regulator certification.
The regulation suggests that, or the regulation says you have to have it visible, number one. In the case of an FSP, it's approved once. It's not something that you renew. So that's what you might see an old stamp there. But in the case of NCR, it specifically is renewed on an annual basis. So if you see an NCR certificate that has a stamp on it that is older than 12 months, assume that certificate has lapsed, regardless of what they tell you. If the institution has got an NCR certificate that hasn't lapsed, they should present that. If I've got an NCR certificate that is valid for 2025, why am I presenting you one that says it's stamped for 2020? I should be presenting you with a 2025 one.
But then here's the problem, right? I'm a consumer. I want to borrow some money. I've been to, you know, the traditional banks and stuff, and they've all looked at me and said, hell no, we're not lending you the money. I'm no longer caring about regulations. I want money.
That's fair, but money at what costs, eh?
I hear
an
you.
An illegal lender is going to charge you north of 30%, 40%, 50%.
100%, whatever it
is. And you're
not
going to be able to pay that back.
Yeah, but are people who are in a jam, and it's
fair.
Tough being in a jam.
No, that's a fair point.
You know, to say like, well, hey, you're going to rip me, so I mustn't take money.
No, if
it's a rock and a hard place.
It's a difficult, it's a completely different conversation when you have bills to pay, you have kids to feed. There's a need for those finances. And I suppose that's kind of the point of this conversation for our community is to say, have a clear understanding of what you're getting into. Do your homework, do your research. These NCR companies, it's easy to verify them. You go onto the NCR website, you enter the number. It'll tell you if it's lapsed or if it's active or if it's valid. Do your homework and make sure that you understand the kinds of credit arrangements and relationships you're entering into. I mean, we were chatting about the FSP side of it and those things, and we don't talk about it quite often, but Simon and I have both got extensive experience in the FSP space. Point around that is to say it's not having these conversations from a point of not being informed.
Yeah.
We've run through the ringer. We've gone through the processes. We know exactly what it takes to put these things in place. And if you're dealing with someone that does not have this in place, it becomes so difficult to protect you as a consumer. Yeah. It becomes impossible.
Look, it's difficult to protect you with as a consumer anyway.
As it is.
And then you throw this into the, and it just becomes, and it comes back to, you need well-informed, and I'm trying to think of the second word, I want to say disciplined, responsible consumers. Mm. Part of that well-informed lies on the industries and the organizations and on the consumer. The other side relies on people making smart decisions, which as human beings, we are not very well known for doing often.
What we'll do though for our community and for those that check out the pod, watch the pod, listen to the pod, is we will put up the FSCA website where you can go and validate an FSP number as well as the NCR one. And please, before you engage with these institutions, no matter what the situation is, take 5 minutes, go put in the number there, validate whether or not you should be engaging with this organization. And if not, rather not.
Rather not.
Rather not. That's the best we can do.
Yeah, there's another one. There's another dozen that you can find.
That's it. There's always good. I mean, if 4,000 have let licenses lapse, imagine how many more have active licenses in the NCR space.
Correct.
So there are people out there that have got active licensing and that are licensed correctly. Mm-hmm. Please use those people, because the next awkward conversation we're going to be having is, these guys took my money, please help me get my money back. And there's going to be absolutely nothing we can do to help.
No, not a thing.
We move on to stock picks. We move on to updating our wall. We've got quite a few things to take a look at here. It's been a roller coaster for some of these stocks. I know we have Nike on the wall, and I know Nike's been running quite hot since the last time we spoke about it. Mm. We spoke about it closer to, I think...
Was it just last week?
Yeah, it was just last week. It was closer to about $80 or so. Yeah, it's closer to $90 now.
So they got a
now.
New CEO. Have you checked that CV?
No, well, 30-something years at Nike?
1988, joins as an intern.
Yes.
Left 2 years ago as chief marketing officer, back as CEO.
There you go.
Yeah,
his entire career at Nike.
Nike.
Which is interesting, because I spoke to a CEO who's done, I think it's 20-something odd years at a single company. And you find that, right? You find those rare gems where someone has been with one company their entire life and finally they're CEO. And all the time they were with the company, there wasn't really a, we know who this person is. But when you look at that CV, that's...
Yeah. I got a friend who's been at one of the big banks for 20 years. He's not CEO material. He's middling along. But his argument is, you know what? I keep my head down. I do my job. I get bonuses. And at the end of this, they're going to give me a pension.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some people look forward to that. Some people look forward to the pension. Before we update, or before we add things to the wall, let's take a look at what we have on the wall. I mean, we've kind of got Northam in our avoid category, which I wanted to move out, but I'm looking at it today and I'm just like, just leave it where it is.
Leave it where it is.
Just leave it where it is. DRD Gold, there is an alternative there. Quantum Foods is an avoid along with Baldwin. We're neutral on Advatech. I don't know if we need to move it out for any particular reason at this point.
Why are we neutral in Advatech? I can't remember what.
We looked at it and we said it's kind of run quite a bit. And
it has.
In the education space, we're...
I mean, I like Advatech. I hold it. And it's again, the old-fashioned chart. I just had a look at Quantum. Why is everyone excited again?
Is it moving again?
It's back up at 1430. It was down at almost 7.
That's a big move. But is it enough to move it out of our avoid
space? No.
You leave
it in the avoid. There is weird stuff. The directors all sold options to for their call options on their shares at R8, which were then like immediately exercised. But why did they sell call options? Because we don't know what the call options were sold for, because that's not declared to JSE. And of course, there was that EGM from Country Bird, where the directors got their 50%, but by like 4 votes, which is not a compelling endorsement of the chair and other board members. Leave it on their void.
It's giving Transaction Capital vibes when Transaction Capital Management, before the We Buy Cars unbundling, sold out of their stocks at a higher price and then went and said, we want to do a rights issue. And so we've effectively de-risked ourselves.
Yeah, but look, these are...
But this is a different story, obviously. They've got boardroom issues.
Some of these directors
well.
Were buying at 14 Rand and then sold at 8. It's messy.
It's messy. Leave it alone. Leave it where it is. We had Sasol Adlike It. And it's been suffering.
I wasn't here for that show.
It was Pietri. But Pietri likes everything, and we love that about Pietri.
And he did win all the awards last night.
There we go, right? Congratulations to Pietri Marmalade Riedling Ace on winning at the Stockbroking Awards last night. Big shout out to you and all the work that you continue to do. We love having you on our show. Back to Sasol. Are we moving it out of Like It and moving it somewhere else, maybe neutral? It is suffering. It could be under alternative.
To me, the problem with Sasol is that all the news is out there and it's still going down.
But it's not going down by much. So I'm okay with Sasol at this point because I've said, as you said, the worst is out there. The losses are out there. The business, the worst of the worst information is out there, and the share price is holding at 115 Rand.
Holdings are doing a lot of heavy lifting in that sentence. It was 150 just a month ago. So
That's fair.
I don't like Sasol, but I leave that to you.
Don't like Sasol. All right, we'll see what we do with Sasol. We'll see how we move it around. And we'll see if there's anything else that we need to update. But let's add some things to the wall. Nedbank.
I mean, in the bank, but the banks are all lacquer. Nedbank, I mean, whatever. So it's run, as have all the banks. It loved the GNU story. It's up, you know, a quarter since the GNU story. My preferred banks would be Standard or First Rand. So if we got a Nedbank, stick it in the
alternatives kind of space.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm looking at Nedbank now, and I'm like, I can appreciate that, as you said, everything is running, right? Mm. Nedbank is at 2018 all-time highs, which were around the 316 Rand level. It's kind of currently at around 305 Rand a share. I don't really see anything that inspires enough confidence for me to believe it's going to break that level. I think it'll double top at this level or around this 300 Rand range. And I say that because if you look at the way it's kind of moved, yeah, it moved from 200 Rand. It's had a bullish month every month since sort of October, November of last year. And it's been ticking along to the upside, right? But from 200 Rand to 300 Rand versus looking at, and granted, you're a very new player by Nedbank's standards and comparatives, 108 Rand to 170 Rand move on Discovery this year alone.
Yeah.
And then Capitec coming through, and now 3,100 Rand a share from 1,500 Rand a share back in
Late last year.
And I'm just like, I don't see the amount of momentum that I see in other banks, perhaps. And that includes having a look at something like Absa, right? Yeah. Absa's been teetering along, bounced off 140 Rand. We're back at 175, 176-ish. I don't even know if Absa's got enough strength to break 200. We got the announcement that Ari's stepping away.
And you know, Nedbank, look, it's not expensive for us to book 1.3 dividend yield, 6.5. But we've got Old Mutual with their new bank. And what I've noticed, the Nedbanks of the world, First Rands, FNB rather, Standard Bank, they're all focusing on private clients now. Mm. All their advertising is private clients. They're kind of like saying the rest of the market, Capitec, Time Bank, Old Mutual Bank. So Nedbank,
You mentioned Old Mutual, and it's quite interesting. I spoke to the Old Mutual CFO, I think it was yesterday, around those numbers and about the bank.
Mm.
And Old Mutual's got a unique advantage, right? They've got an existing client base. They're not going to sell their banking product to random people.
Much like Discovery.
That's it. You sell within your own client base, and that's it. Nedbank has sold to its own client base. I don't know. We leave it in alternatives?
Yeah.
Probably something better out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. That's going to sit in the alternative space. Let's take a look at the other local pick.
Metair.
That's interesting because they did results, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
No, earlier this week.
Yeah. Was it earlier this week?
Yeah, they had an update.
Was 2 or 3 weeks ago. Yes.
Update was 18th. Results were yesterday.
Yes, I remember the update. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So avoid, because this is a company which does batteries. What's the big talk of the world these days? Batteries. Whether it be batteries on my cell phone or my electric vehicle or wherever the case goes, batteries. And these guys just got lost behind. They got that Rombat in Romania, which does the stop-start, but stop-start kind of like, it went nowhere. They're having to sell their Turkish operation because of hyperinflation, collapsing currencies, and Russian customers. And it's
those
just like
the bad.
They missed the trick. They so missed that trick. It was a stock I used to really, really like the idea of and thought they had great potential. It was a 50 Rand stock a decade ago, and now it's a 14 Rand stock. It's just, sometimes you're in the right space, and it was an old school space. I mean, car batteries, right? Mm. Lead batteries. They just couldn't get to where they needed to be. And they still do. They do many of the vehicle manufacturers in South Africa, they're providing batteries into it. That's nice. But you know, lead acid batteries are not the future of much.
You say that, and the only thing, there's a couple of companies that come to mind, and those companies are BlackBerry, Nokia, and Kodak. Mm. And we all know how each of those
stories. I'm sure Pick & Pay into that as well.
Ooh.
I know. They're not going bust.
Sean's not going to like that.
That's fine.
Okay, so we're avoiding Metair, and we are kind of finding an alternative to Nedbank. Yeah. Offshore picks, the Burberry Group.
Hmm.
That's what the chart looks like.
Going the wrong way.
It's going the wrong way, but it could start to move in the right direction if we are having that luxury conversation. And you're at, what is it, seven, given a PLC, I'm assuming it's listed in the UK. So it would be £7, £7 share price.
Yeah.
Off of £25 highs. How are we feeling about the Burberry Group?
Nine times dividend yield.
Mm.
9% dividend yield.
Okay.
I could be liking that.
There we go.
So, I mean, something weird's happened. Obviously, I mean, financial year 25, they're expecting earnings to be down 84%. Something's gone wrong. Mm. But for financial year 26, expected to be 180% up. I can buy myself a 9% dividend yield in sterling.
Okay. Before we commit to that, and I only say this because
you're going
to
raise me.
We're looking at... We've touched on
Jeffries. We spoke about Jeffries last week. They downgraded Burberry to underperform. You need to speak to Faye.
Okay. So we're going to put a pin in that because I might want to offer an alternative to that. And this will still be one pick in the luxury space because, you know, we've spoken about luxury today. At £5, you can get some Rolls-Royce shares.
Oh, yes. Let's buy Rolls-Royce. Yes. Rolls-Royce shares, of course. No dividend yield, nice little thing. Well, Rolls-Royce, yes, they make engine aeroplanes. So they also, I mean, we're thinking them for the motor cars.
No,
the motor cars are lovely.
They give Boeing.
I see one driving around here sometimes. It's beautiful, but for everything they give Boeing.
Yes. Because they have no competition in that space. Well, no real competition.
No, they don't, do they?
They don't.
No. If I got an airplane and it didn't have a Rolls Royce,
what's going to power it?
Yeah, if it hasn't got a Rolls Royce, I'm walking. Now, let's be clear. Airplanes fall out of the sky, not because the engine failed.
Yes.
Because other things
failed. It's never the engine that fails.
Rolls Royce.
And if the engine does fail, Rolls Royce on some planes gives you an extra 3.
I thought you were going to say they gave you a Rolls Royce.
They probably will.
So this has gone from one to plenty, but yes, Rolls Royce, like it.
Okay, so Rolls Royce or Burberry?
Ooh.
Which one? We can only have one.
Okay, Burberry, because I get the 9% yield and it's going down, so it can turn, whereas Rolls Royce is up 5x in 2 years.
Okay, but then, okay, so we've got a spot for the dividend play. Mm. We can throw Burberry there. And then... Okay, we're adding Rolls-Royce. We're doing 3 this week instead of 2 because we like Rolls-Royce that much.
You want a real boring one?
Okay.
Johnson & Johnson.
Okay, let's get into that.
Johnson & Johnson, right? It gives you about a 3% dividend yield. I think it averages about 6% growth per year in terms of equity. So you're averaging 8 to 10% growth per year in dollars. It's incredibly boring. You zoom this chart out far enough and it just... goes up.
My thing with Johnson & Johnson on kind of principle is around the vaccines and what happened there. But I suppose, as you say, look, a boring
business. And the talc powder, they poisoned women.
Yeah, and now we use cornstarch in everything because of that. But also,
maybe it should be in the alternative, and we need to hunt out the alternative boring consumer staple with a nice dividend yield for next week.
I support that.
Okay.
Okay. Johnson & Johnson going in alternative. We've sorted out our picks for this week. We will update the wall and we will put it up online for everybody to catch up on and give us your thoughts around.